Let the light shine. This is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, coming to you from Riverside, California, and podcasting since 2004. I am your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is a daily podcast, and we're reading through the whole Bible in a year. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Today, our reading is Luke 7 and 8, and I'm calling the episode, Got a Light? The show notes page for today's episode is lifespringmedia.com/S12E150. Let's get started. Luke chapter 7. When Jesus had finished everything he wanted to say to the people, he went to Capernaum. There a Roman army officer's valuable slave was sick and near death. The officer had heard about Jesus and sent some Jewish leaders to him. They were to ask Jesus to come and save the servant's life. They came to Jesus and begged, "He deserves your help. He loves our people and built our synagogue at his own expense." Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the officers sent friends to tell Jesus, "Sir, don't bother. I don't deserve to have you come into my house. That's why I didn't come to you. But just give a command and let my servant be cured. As you know, I'm in a chain of command and have soldiers at my command. I tell one of them, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes. I tell my servant, do this, and he does it." Jesus was amazed at the officer when he heard these words. He turned to the crowd following him and said, "I can guarantee that I haven't found faith as great as this in Israel." When the man who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant healthy again. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a city called Nain. His disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he came near the entrance to the city, he met a funeral procession. The dead man was a widow's only child. A large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt sorry for her. He said to her, "Don't cry." He went up to the open coffin, took hold of it, and the men who were carrying it stopped. He said, "Young man, I'm telling you to come back to life." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Everyone was struck with fear and praised God. They said, "A great prophet has appeared among us," and, "God has taken care of his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding region. John's disciples told him about all these things. Then John called two of his disciples and sent them to ask the Lord, "Are you the one who is coming, or should we look for someone else?" The men came to Jesus and said, "John the Baptizer sent us to ask you, are you the one who is coming, or should we look for someone else?" At that time, Jesus was curing many people who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits. Also, he was giving back sight to many who were blind. Jesus answered John's disciples, "Go back and tell John what you have seen and heard. Blind people see again, lame people are walking, those with skin diseases are made clean, deaf people hear again, dead people are brought back to life, and poor people hear the good news. Whoever doesn't lose his faith in me is indeed blessed." When John's messengers had left, Jesus spoke to the crowds about John. "What did you go into the desert to see? Tall grass swaying in the wind? Really, what did you go to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? Those who wear splendid clothes and live in luxury are in royal palaces. Really, what did you go to see? A prophet? Let me tell you that he is far more than a prophet. John is the one about whom Scripture says, 'I am sending my messenger ahead of you to prepare the way in front of you.' I can guarantee that of all the people ever born, no one is greater than John. Yet the least important person in the kingdom of God is greater than John. All the people, including tax collectors, heard John. They admitted that God was right by letting John baptize them. But the Pharisees and the experts in Moses' teachings rejected God's plan for them. They refused to be baptized. How can I describe the people who are living now? What are they like? They are like the children who sit in the marketplace and shout to each other, 'We played music for you, but you didn't dance. We sang a funeral song, but you didn't cry.' John the Baptizer has come neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'There's a demon in him.' The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him, he's a glutton and a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is proved right by all its results." One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him. Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and was eating at the table. A woman who lived a sinful life in that city found out that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she took a bottle of perfume and knelt at his feet. She was crying and washed his feet with her tears. Then she dried his feet with her hair, kissed them over and over again, and poured the perfume on them. The Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this and thought, "If this man really were a prophet, he would know what sort of woman is touching him. She's a sinner." Jesus spoke up, "Simon, I have something to say to you." Simon replied, "Teacher, you're free to speak." So Jesus said, "Two men owed a moneylender some money. One owed him 500 silver coins, and the other owed him 50. When they couldn't pay it back, he was kind enough to cancel their debts. Now, who do you think will love him the most?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one who had the largest debt canceled." Jesus said to him, "You're right." Then, turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "You see this woman, don't you? I came into your house. You didn't wash my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but ever since I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put any olive oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. That's why I'm telling you that her many sins have been forgiven. Her great love proves that. But whoever receives little forgiveness loves very little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." The other guests thought, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Luke chapter 8. After this, Jesus traveled around from one town and village to another. He announced the good news of God's kingdom. The 12 were with him. So were some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. One was Mary Magdalene. 7 demons had come out of her. Another was Joanna, the wife of Cusa. He was the manager of Herod's household. Susanna and many others were there also. These women were helping to support Jesus and the 12 with their own money. A large crowd gathered together. People came to Jesus from town after town. As they did, he told a story. He said, "A farmer went out to plant his seed. He scattered the seed on the ground. Some fell on a path. People walked on it, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky places. When it grew, the plants dried up because they had no water. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up with it and crowded out the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It grew up and produced a crop 100 times more than the farmer planted." When Jesus said this, he called out, "Those who have ears should listen." His disciples asked him what the story meant. He said, "You've been given the chance to understand the secrets of God's kingdom, but to outsiders I speak by using stories. In that way, they see, but they will not know what they're seeing. They hear, but they will not understand what they are hearing." Here's what the story means. The seed is God's message. People on the path are those who hear. But then the devil comes. He takes away the message from their hearts. He does it so they won't believe. Then they can't be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who hear the message and receive it with joy, but they have no roots. They believe for a while, but when they are put to the test, they fall away from the faith. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear the message, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, so they do not reach full growth. But the seed on good soil stands for those with an honest and good heart. They hear the message. They keep it in their hearts. They remain faithful and produce a good crop. People do not light a lamp and then hide it in a jar or put it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand. Then those who come in can see its light. What is hidden will be seen, and what is out of sight will be brought into the open and made known. So be careful how you listen. If you have something, you will be given more. If you have nothing, even what you think you have will be taken away from you. Jesus' mother and brothers came in to see him, but they could not get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside. They want to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and do what it says." One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and left. As they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. A storm came down on the lake. It was so bad that the boat was about to sink. They were in great danger. The disciples went in and woke Jesus up. They said, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and ordered the wind and the huge waves to stop. The storm quieted down. It was completely calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. They were amazed and full of fear. They asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the waves, and they obey him." Jesus and his disciples sailed to the area of the Gerasenes across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped on shore, he was met by a man from the town. The man was controlled by demons. For a long time, he had not worn clothes or lived in a house. He lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet. He shouted at the top of his voice, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want with me? I beg you, don't hurt me." This was because Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times the spirit had taken hold of him. His hands and feet were chained, and he was kept under guard. But he had broken his chains. And then the demon had forced him to go out into lonely places in the countryside. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus again and again not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he allowed it. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs. Then the herd rushed down the steep bank. They ran into the lake and drowned. Those who were tending the pigs saw what had happened. They ran off and reported it in the town and countryside. The people went out to see what had happened. Then they came to Jesus. They found the man who was now free of the demons. He was sitting at Jesus' feet. He was dressed and thinking clearly. All this made the people afraid. Those who had seen it told the others how the man who had been controlled by demons was now healed. Then all the people who lived in the area of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them. They were filled with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man who was now free of the demons begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away. He said to him, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away. He told people all over town how much Jesus had done for him. When Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him. They were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus came. He was a synagogue ruler. He fell at Jesus' feet. He begged Jesus to come to his house. His only daughter was dying. She was about 12 years old. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. A woman was there who had a sickness that made her bleed. Her sickness had lasted for 12 years. No one could heal her. She came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his clothes. Right away, her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. They all said they didn't do it. Then Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pushing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." The woman realized that people would notice her. Shaking with fear, she came and fell at his feet. In front of everyone, she told why she had touched him. She also told how she had been healed in an instant. Then he said to her, "Dear woman, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus. Jairus was the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," the messenger said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe. She will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let everyone go in with him. He took only Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. During this time, all the people were crying and sobbing loudly over the child. "Stop crying," Jesus said. "She's not dead. She is sleeping." They laughed at him. They knew she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and right away she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were amazed, but Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened.
Well, beloved, let's talk a little bit about Luke chapter 8. Jesus said in Luke 8:16, "No one lights a lamp and then hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand. Then those who come in can see its light." Jesus is saying here that when you have a light, you let the light shine. Of course, in this chapter, Jesus is speaking in parables. And in this parable, he's saying that when you have the truth of who he is, it's your responsibility to share that truth. You don't hide it. Whenever God gives you the opportunity to share the good news, he expects you to grab it. I mean, if you saw someone running off a cliff, you wouldn't just let them go, would you? I read an article today about the president of Gateway Seminary. His name is Jeff, and I don't know how to say his last name. It's spelled I-O-R-G. I don't know if that's Eorg or Iorg, whatever. Since I'm not sure about how to pronounce it, let's just call him Jeff. He was speaking at a meeting of church leaders, and his message was that evangelism has an image problem. I won't go into the whole article, but by the way, I'll put a link to the article on the show notes page at lifespringmedia.com/S12E150, but the crux of his message was this. The Christian polling company known as Barna Research, who does really good work, by the way, has found that there's a large gap or contradiction among Christians when it comes to evangelism. Statistics indicate that most Christians believe sharing the gospel is an important part of being a Christian, and they feel equipped to share the gospel adequately. But get this, still, almost half of millennial Christians and 20% of boomers think it's wrong to share one's Christian faith with someone of another faith with the intention of converting them. Jeff said, "We imagine evangelism positively until it turns personal, and then the image turns much more negative." He added that though practical strategies are important, they cannot substitute for spiritual methods to bridge the gap in evangelism understanding. He said, "Tricks and techniques are not going to change the way we're evangelizing in metro communities or any communities. We're not going to close this gap by arguing with someone, showing someone a video, or helping them to rethink it. You're going to change their minds," he said, "through the Word, prayer, and the Holy Spirit." Well, I got to tell you, beloved, it is gratifying to me that Jeff and I agree. This is the message that I've been convinced of since I started the LifeSpring podcast over 17 years ago. It's the message God gave me when he called me. You're going to change their minds through the Word, prayer, and the Holy Spirit. Listen, debating rarely works, if ever. Jesus said in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them." Beloved, our job certainly is to make disciples of all nations, but conversions don't happen by debating or clubbing people over the head. People don't come to the Lord by shaming or insulting them. How did Jesus win souls? Well, first he loved them, and then once they knew that he cared about them and they were receptive to him, he said, "Go and sin no more." Of course, that's an oversimplification, but you get what I'm saying. When he was speaking to those who needed him, he gave them love, not condemnation. You're going to change their minds through the Word, prayer, and the Holy Spirit. Shine your light. Love people. Pray for them. Share the message. And let God do the work. Love to hear your ideas. Go to lifespringmedia.com/S12E150 and leave a comment. Galatians 1 through 3 will be our reading tomorrow. Well, as you might expect, I haven't done anything with my Raspberry Pi or my Lightning Node this week, what with my little trip to the hospital. But I'm going to be getting some help today from my buddy Ron Plouffe from the Griddle Cakes Radio podcast. And if you haven't listened to that show, I really think you'll like it. Ron and I have been friends since 2005, I think, maybe late 2004. He started Griddle Cakes in 2005. Anyway, he's very, very smart and is about 6 months or so ahead of me with his Raspberry Pi, so by the end of our time together today, I think I should have everything configured. Okay, enough of that. Kirstie sent an email yesterday morning, which was, I think, Thursday night in her part of the world, Perth, Australia. She said, "Please take all the time you need to recover. Whilst we all love having the daily podcast, it's important you get better. I'm keeping you in my prayers." Well, thank you for the note, Kirstie, and for all you do to support the show with your time, talent, and treasure. And I got a very nice boostagram yesterday from John. He said, "Brother Steve, so glad to hear you're okay. I'll continue to lift you up to our gracious and compassionate Lord. Thank you for all you do." And he sent a 5,000 sat boostagram using the Fountain app. And John, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for your prayers. And you're very welcome. I'm happy to do what I do. I'm glad I'm still able to do it. And I'm glad you're there to hear me. God bless you. And while I was putting the show together, while I was editing this show, I got this boostagram that came in from Sean of
San Pedro.
He said, "Wow, it sounded like a false alarm when we talked earlier. I'm so sorry you had to go through all that. Thank God for your recovery." And he sent a 7,777 sat boostagram through Fountain. Yeah, Sean, really, thank God for my recovery. No doubt about it. Thank you, brother, and God bless you. And again, I want to thank each and every LifeSpring family member for your prayers. I am doing better, and I'm feeling stronger by the day. I love you guys. And I'm going to mention here one last time that the hosting bill for the year is due today. It's $299.88, and any help you can send would be very much appreciated. If you're streaming sats, you can do a mega boost of whatever amount you choose. Or if you'd like to donate dollars via PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, or credit card, just go to lifespringmedia.com/support. However and how much ever you support the show, thank you, and may God bless you richly for that. On this date in church history, January 29th, 1499, Catherine von Bora was born. She was the former German nun who married Martin Luther. She was born into a noble family and became a Cistercian nun in 1515, but she ran away from the convent in 1523 to marry Luther in 1525. That's interesting. I never knew that story. Be fun to do more study on that, wouldn't it? On this date in church history, 1972, the historic separation of white and black Methodist conferences in South Carolina ended when the two bodies met together for the first time and they voted to accept a plan of union. That's pretty cool. Prayer requests. Jeffrey let me know yesterday morning that his dad, who had pneumonia, is out of the hospital. So that's a wonderful praise. But now his sister has the Rona, but she's already improving. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful for your word, for your Son, for the Holy Spirit, and for your steadfast love. Help us, Lord, to shine your light in our lives and to be aware of the opportunities you give us to share Jesus and make a difference in the eternities of people that Jesus died for. We pray, Lord, for Jeffrey's sister, that you'll continue the healing from the coronavirus that she's got, and we thank you that it's not been a terrible disease for her. I thank you, Lord, so much for the LifeSpring family, and I ask that you be with them today. Bless them. Keep them. Let them feel your presence in their lives and your love. For those who are hurting today, Lord, I ask that you especially minister to them in your tender way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, send your prayer requests in at prayer.lifespringmedia.com. I'll pray for you in my daily private prayer time, and I'll pray for you on the show. And also remember to share your praises as well. You can comment on today's show at lifespringmedia.com/S12E150. You can email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com, and I need your support at lifespringmedia.com/support. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you for being here. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.